is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. A wind-driven wildfire exploded in the Pacific Palisades neighborhood of Los Angeles. Megan Garman and her daughter had to run for their lives.
The smoke just got really bad, so I just started packing up all of our stuff, and we got in the car to go. And then all the cars were abandoned, so I had nowhere to go. So I just had to get out of my car and start walking. The smoke is so bad. I have no idea where we're going.
Governor Gavin Newsom said many structures have burned. Fire officials not providing an exact number. Oregon unveiled wildfire hazard maps. People living in those areas will face stricter building codes and mandates to reduce vegetation on their properties. It stems from last year's record-breaking wildfire season in Oregon. President-elect Trump said he would not rule out the use of military force to seize control of the Panama Canal and Greenland, declaring U.S. control of both is vital to American national security. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The FBI and U.S. Marshals are now helping in the search for a man accused of killing two children and an adult in New Lisbon last Monday. 47-year-old Virgil Thew is considered armed and dangerous and should not be approached. Thew is accused of killing 33-year-old Elizabeth Kolba, as well as a 12-year-old girl and a 13-year-old girl. According to New Lisbon police, Thew's last known vehicle has been found. Thew is the lone suspect in the triple homicide investigation. If anyone sees him, they should call 911. A student at Meadowview Middle School in Sparta is suspected to be the target of a harassment and swatting campaign. Sparta police said that a threatening social media post showing a gun was from a fake account impersonating a 13-year-old in the school and that the gun in the post was a toy. A 14-year-old is being referred for charges of identity theft, swatting, and terroristic threats for creating the post. People are reminded to use Speak Up, Speak Out to report any tips on school threats to law enforcement at 1-800-MY-SUSO-1. Today is the deadline for anyone looking to get on the ballot for the spring election. Candidates need to file their declaration of candidacy, campaign finance forms, proof of residency, and signatures by 5 p.m. today in order to appear on the ballot. Anyone who misses the deadline can still run as a registered write-in for office by filing before noon on March 28th, the Friday before the spring election. If needed, a primary will be held on February 18th, with the spring election happening on April 1st. A study on PFAS in wastewater shows an increase in the so-called forever chemicals, a concerning trend as nearly half of all drinking water in the U.S. is contaminated with PFAS. Scientists said that some of the factors for the increase include use of the chemicals in medication and the effects of drought on local water systems. Without natural water to dilute chemicals in wastewater, PFAS concentrations can be higher. The study was published yesterday in the National Academy of Sciences.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Badgers win on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers with a Big Ten conference win at Rutgers, 75-63. John Blackwell leading with 21 points. Head coach Greg Gard after the game.
We know we're always in for a battle when we come here. Life on the road in the Big Ten is very difficult. So when you can get road wins and lead wire to wire like we did, a really good team win and obviously a lot of contributions from across the board.
NBA, the Bucks snapped a two-game losing streak with a 128-104 decision over the Raptors in Toronto. Chris Middleton sitting out with ankle tendonitis. NFL, Matt LaFleur says that Packers wide receiver Christian Watson suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's loss to the Bears. Watson will spend the next year recovering.
I know he'll attack it the right way. He'll handle the adversity. It'll just be a bump in the road for him, and I think he'll come back better. That's just how he is built. That's how he's wired. There'll be good. It's just going to be down the road.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Decreasing clouds tonight, another chilly night with lows around 6 above. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, highs only in the upper teens, and then a bit milder on Thursday with mostly sunny skies, high temperatures right around 25. Right now, it's 19 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Kelvin. for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
One of my New Year's intentions is to play more, and by that I mean more board games. What are your favorites? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Matt and Air on Air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Craig is listening on the stream. He says, hey, Pete, you're already pretty good at it, but what if you had a Tuesday teaser where you can showcase something cool in the entertainment world? Tuesdays are always a good time to look forward to what's coming. That's a good one. Should we take a memo?
I think that's pretty good.
All right. Craig's got good ideas. Craig's kind of a renaissance show businessman. He also says you could do two of them just because. You see what he did there? That's what I like about Craig.
Two Tuesday. I get it.
Thank you, Craig. We will take that into consideration. Appreciate the thought. Carla, Aunt Carla, checking in. She says, hello, Pete and Conrad. I was fortunate enough to hear Craig T. Nelson sing the national anthem, but when he hit the note of the Brave and the Jets flew over, it was out of Lambeau. His new movie is Green and Gold, playing in theaters January 31st. I got my tickets for it at the AMC Wisconsin Dells. I meant to, it said wide release on that movie. We'll have to look into that. I'm not sure if it's just playing in Wisconsin or everywhere. From the 608, Steady Eddie checking in says, Pete, for me, it's been a terrific, terrible Tuesday. A beautiful January Tuesday in Madison, Wisconsin. Seasonally cold, but there's no snow on the ground and the days are getting longer. And I saw some wonderful cloud formations at sunset. Soon I'll be eating some brats as I listen to Nightlight. Steady Eddie, you could do a lot worse. That sounds like a lovely evening, actually. He says, a terrific, terrible Tuesday. And he says, I think the Bucks, despite their 18-16 record, will make a big buck charge and win the NBA championship this year. Steady Eddie, let's revisit that.
I
think most people would say Packers, but Steady Eddie, who knows? Maybe he's got his
finger on the pulse. I respect the fandom.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Tim Dennis is our guest. He is the host of the Darkness Radio podcast, and he is joining us tonight to talk about ghosts and aliens and the paranormal. And I've got a couple questions here I'm excited to ask him. But Tom in Jackson, he's in the 414, says, hi, Pete, please ask your guest about the tiny town of Dundee in Fond du Lac County. That is supposed to be the hotspot of UFO activity in Wisconsin. Tim, what do you think about that?
About Dundee?
Dundee in Fond du Lac County. Have you heard of that?
I have. I've never been through, but I have heard of it. Okay. There's a lot of places I've heard of that I want to get to that I haven't. And, you know, as far as it's too bad we're not on the line with him. I'd love to ask if he'd been through it and if he'd ever seen anything there and what exactly he's seen. Because here's the deal. Depending on where you're looking, where you are in the night sky and what there is that's going over at the time, it depends on what you're looking for and what you're looking at. Now, You know, I mean, are you looking at a satellite going over? You know, one of the things that really gets me about what we're looking at is now, you know, Elon Musk has launched Starlink satellite systems. And a lot of people have seen these Starlink satellite systems in the sky and went, there's a UFO. And right. a lot of times, and this has even been debunked on Travel Channel, the Starlink satellite systems are not UFOs, but they're being mistaken for UFOs. And I'm not taking the attention off of Dundee here. Right. But I have heard of Dundee. I'd like to get to Dundee to see if I can see something. I've only twice seen something in my life that I think could be mistaken for or could be potentially a UFO. One was in northern Minnesota. The other was out actually in Arizona. But I couldn't explain it, and I tried to cross-reference it with MUFON, and, yeah. and it was unexplainable. So
let's – all right. So before I ask you about Jimmy Carter, Tom actually took your advice and called in. So he is with us on the phone right now, and
oh, good.
You can speak to him directly. Good. Tom, how are you?
Hey. Oh, okay. The reason I know about this is I used to listen to NPR in the morning out of Milwaukee, Joy Cardine, and she used to have a show about every 6 months that dealt with this subject. And there's a guest that was really up on, especially Wisconsin sightings in Wisconsin, and he was saying that Dundee is supposed to by far have the most. And there's a lake there called Long Lake along Highway 67. And I guess especially in the north end of Long Lake, there's supposed to be like Indian burial grounds, and there's like a water tower up there, and it's really rough terrain. And I've driven through there on my motorcycle, and I had some relatives on Dad's mother's side that had a little cottage along Long Lake. And then my grandmother was actually born in a farm about a half mile west of there, and now that it was given to the Catholic Church. But I've never seen it myself, but... there's a an old bar that's now closed, but they had like shirts and sweaters that had like different UFO stuff on it, really cute. I actually got a couple of them, and I haven't used them yet. But that's what the guest on the NPR talk show said, that Dundee is the spot in Wisconsin. It's supposed to have the most sightings. It's and going back to Indian days, too, I guess.
Okay.
That's up near Barron, isn't it?
No, it's in Finley County, which is about an hour and a half north of Milwaukee or so.
Yeah, right on the southern part of Lake Winnebago, Tim. Tom, thank you so much for the call, buddy. Appreciate you contributing to the show. Have
long
a great
lake.
Night.
Yeah, long
sorry,
lake.
My geography's off a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay.
Now, I've worked in Whitehall, Wisconsin, and I worked in mainly western Wisconsin when I was doing radio a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But I've never been that far east, so that's okay. But there is. I'll give you this fact about Wisconsin. It is ranking 23rd as far as UFO sightings in the United States. So it does get a lot of data reported to it by the National UFO Reporting Center. So you do get quite a few sightings all over Wisconsin. And Barron actually in 1934 was one of them.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with that one. But right. I'm familiar with Dundee. I'm not familiar with where it's located.
That's okay. Look, we don't expect you to know everything, Tim. That's fine. But thank you for the call, Tom. And that's interesting. I'll add that to the list of we always it's fun. We do talk about this stuff periodically on the show, and it's good to have a little catalog going. Tim, you mentioned Jimmy Carter had a UFO sighting in 1969. I vaguely remember hearing something about that, but I have no idea what it was. Can you inform us about that? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Believe it or not, it happened in Georgia at a Lions Club meeting. And this was way before he was ever president. What had happened was he was coming out of that Lions Club meeting with 20 people. So it's not like this was just a singular sighting that couldn't be verified by anybody. He had been scheduled to give a speech there at that Lions Club meeting in Leary, Georgia, when some of the other guests directed his attention to this object that was up there in the sky. So what happens is they're all looking up at it, and they all see it change color a few times before it disappears into the distance. Now, this is what Jimmy Carter was quoted as saying in 1973. He said there were about 20 of us standing outside of a little restaurant, I believe. It was a high school lunchroom, and a kind of a green light appeared in the western sky. This was right after sundown. It got brighter and brighter, and then it eventually disappeared. It didn't have any solid substance to it. It was just a very peculiar looking light. None of us could understand what it was. Now, what President Carter did is he submitted a report to the International UFO Bureau and detailed the sighting. And a few years later, when he was governor of Georgia, he even promised to make an stop me if you've heard this before, make every piece of information the country has about UFO sightings available to the public and scientists when he became president. That sound familiar, Pete?
Yeah. So what happened? You know, I will say that Carter seeing this and or whatever, just saying he saw this mystery light, whatever, and then never having another issue with aliens or UFOs or whatever, kind of lends a lot of credibility to it. You know, it's not like he's a crackpot or anything. He was the president and a very sane guy. And I've seen something I couldn't explain. I saw the lights over Lake Michigan in 1994. It's just, sure, you don't know what's going on.
Well, here's the part of it that makes me wonder, you know, and I talked about this as we were recording for tomorrow's show. I was talking about this with my co-host, Mally Fox. I said, listen, it's not the fact that he's seen something. It's what happens to presidents after they're in office,
yeah,
where they don't want to talk about it. And the only exception seems to be President Trump. He's the one who wants to go back in and actually crack these files open.
Why didn't he do that the first time, though?
Well, here's the thing. I think because he got stopped cold by the military. I really do think they said, whoa, 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 slow your roll. We're not going to do that, sir. We have other things to focus on. Okay. And it seems to be anybody who gets within the machine who wants to open these files, who says, you know, we kind of want to get down to the bottom of this. It's either because, you know, they don't have things together and they really don't have the organization to do it, or they haven't kept accurate records, or, and again, I'm making sense here. I know I'm making too much sense for most people. Or the other fact is that there is something there. And let's just face it, we're not ready to handle stuff. And I'll give you the example of why we're not, Pete, and I'll make it very short. It's simply this. With the drones in New Jersey and on the East Coast, people were saying this simple statement: the government isn't ready to take care of this. I will. And they went out there with shotguns and started shooting at drones. And they didn't know who they belonged to. They shot at drones, Pete.
Well,
with shotguns.
There's a mental health issue in this country, too. Let's be honest.
And here's the thing. If you shoot at a drone, Pete, it's dangerous to you. First of all, it's dangerous to you. You crack that battery, you're going to die. Second of all, you'll start your house, your forest, everything on fire. So,
go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
No. It's just that. It's just that people don't think before they act. So if we're going to tell them that there's aliens out there and, hey, we have a pact with them, what are they going to go do to aliens if they're shooting simple drones?
No kidding. And what are they going to hit instead of the drone? That's a little unnerving. So we have to do another very short break. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes, Tim?
Absolutely.
All right. You have this, you sent another thing about mystery fog, and I've read a little bit about that. So I want to ask you about mystery fog. And then like maybe you could share your favorite tall tale or urban legend with us when we come back before we let you go. This is Nightlight, sure, with Pete Schwabba. Tim Dennis is here. He's the host of the Darkness Radio podcast, very popular podcast. And he's going to be with us for a couple more minutes on the other side of this very short break. So great to have you with us on Taco Tuesday, Conrad?
Tuesday,
according to Craig. Okay, we'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. You pick up little dynamite. I'm gonna pick up little gun. Every woman in our house tonight. Make that highway run. You don't have to call me lieutenant. I don't wanna be your son.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, We'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back. There's still time to get in on our question of the night, which is, who will be the next Wisconsin team to win a championship? So far, I would say the Bucks are leading the pack. Or the Packers is probably a tie.
Or the women's UW
hockey?
Badger hockey team.
Hockey team, yeah. We'll have to look into that. Can you Google their record while we're talking to Tim here?
Actually, you know what? I will say, I got a new one.
Yeah.
Marquette is looking really good this year.
Oh, that's true. Oh, I forgot about Marquette. Yeah.
Maybe they can do it.
They're top 10, right?
I believe they are, yeah.
Okay. I'd love to be top 10. Tim Dennis is with us. He is the host of the Darkness Radio podcast. He's agreed to stick around for a few extra minutes here. Tim, all right, so we talked about Jimmy Carter. You said something about a potential talking point might be mystery fog. There's something so creepy about fog. I hate driving in it. But tell us a little bit about that. Has there been some investigation recently?
Yeah. You know something, Pete? There's a fog that's actually going over multiple states. It's creepy enough, like you said. Fog and anything in fog. In fact, fog is so creepy they've made multiple movies about it. Yeah. And what could be in fog, including M. Night Shyamalan. Or I call him Shyamalan Ding Dong. I know that's not his name.
We just call him M. Night,
M. Night, exactly. Yeah. He's made a movie about it as well. Well, residents along multiple states have been reporting these strange clouds of fog like with a chemical-like smell.
Huh.
And I wish I could report it as anything other than just the most icky smell that you've ever smelled in your life, right? But it's been hanging in the air over the last few days. And it's been in, when I say multiple states here, Pete, I'm talking Texas, Wisconsin, Iowa, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Florida, and Minnesota. We're not talking just a few states here. We're talking a lot of states, right? And this fog has some unusual properties to it as it's hanging above all these states. Now, the unusual properties are this. It's triggered some respiratory problems and symptoms. And it's accompanied by a burning chemical-like smell that leaves people feeling nauseous.
Hmm.
Now, tell me where you might have heard this before from people who are into conspiracy theories.
The only thing I can think of is like a pesticide or something.
Okay, pesticide is good. But a lot of people who kind of run the streets with a crazy look in their eye will yell chemtrails at you, right?
Oh, right, right.
I mean, that's what I think of when I read the story and look at this story. Now, there's a woman who encountered this fog while filling her car with gas in Florida who said that within an hour, she kept sneezing over and over and over again for about 3 hours, and her eyes got real puffy. That doesn't sound right, right? Seems like a chemical burn, for all intents and purposes.
For those people listening, Tim, tell and myself included, I know the bare minimum of what is a chemtrail exactly?
A chemtrail supposedly is it's a trail from the back of an airplane. So, you know, when you look and see a vapor trail out of an airplane, that happens. I mean, it's a normal exhaust out of an airplane. A lot of people mistake that for, like, say, an airplane up in the sky that may strafe a chemtrail or a chemical trail that may be seeding us with some sort of chemicals. Okay. So there's a popular theory or conspiracy theory that the government may be trying to seed us or a particular area with some sort of experimental toxin or chemical to see if we react to it. So they could be conducting any type of experiment on us. Now, there's only, I think, one experiment in history. It was a project known as Operation Sea Spray in 1950, which saw large amounts of bacteria being intentionally sprayed over San Francisco, which was actually proven. Otherwise, there really isn't anything on record saying that the government has done this on a regular basis, okay?
Yeah.
But that one time got people talking.
It's such an easy thing to say, though, to the government. You know, the government is millions of people, basically. I mean, how does that... I just feel like we'd know more about, and that's not like Roswell. That's just, I feel like that would get out.
Yes, it would. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a good way to kind of find this stuff out. There's a guy by the name of John Greenwald Jr. who runs a site called theblackvault.com. And John has managed to gather 3.4 million documents of Freedom of Information Act documents.
Oh.
And he is a bulldog. If you ever get a little bit of time, everything from UFO documents and alien documents to regular Freedom of Information Act documents about what's going on in your government.
Okay.
And you want to talk about a guest you should get on the program. That's a guy.
Yeah. And theblackvault.com. Okay.
Theblackvault.com. And he's on X as well. And John manages to dig every single Freedom of Information Act document that you can find out there. And he's found documents like this online where there have been plans where they've said, you know what, you know what would be an idea? Let's test something on the populace, an old CIA document from the 50s or 60s. Hmm. But it would get shelved. And there's things in there about remote viewing programs from the CIA and things like that he's dug up.
Do any of these chemicals give you better abs, Tim?
I wish. No, otherwise I'd get rid of this big tire I have in the middle, but no.
Hey, listen, this has been a lot of fun, buddy. Thanks for sticking with us so long, and thanks for filling in short notice for your Uncle Bob, who I don't know if I believe his story, but no, I'm kidding. It was great to meet you, and yeah, thanks a lot. We'll have to do this again. I have a lot more questions for you, but hopefully we can cover those another time.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Pete. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great night. And check out the Darkness Radio podcast with your host, Tim Dennis, who has some really interesting guests and talks about a lot of really cool topics. So, Conrad, what do you think about that chemtrail thing? I have read about that in the news. That's been like in mainstream papers. That's not like just like conspiracy theory.
Media. I didn't even know about it, to be honest.
See, that is why you're making a mistake. You have got to wake up, pal. No. I mean, I heard when I was a kid that all these planes and, you know, the exhaust that comes out of them is bad. But, you know, what are we going to do? We've been flying airplanes for
quite some time.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah, it's interesting to talk about. Thank you to Tim Dennis. When we come back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed, we are going to be joined by Mike Kauth. He is a head coach at Comedy Sports in Milwaukee. We will talk about the Milwaukee comedy scene and where you can see Comedy Sports, because I know they do leave Milwaukee from time to time and travel around the state. So we'll have a fun talk with Mike. That's coming up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. As of Monday, two candidates have filed all of their paperwork to appear on the ballot for the race for La Crosse mayor. Shondell Washington Spivey and Vicky Markison have everything turned in. Three other candidates, Ellie McLoon, Chris Stone, and Christine Kahlo, have until 5 p.m. to file all of their paperwork to appear on the ballot. Current Mayor Mitch Reynolds is not running. There will also be a primary on February 18th for City Council District 7, currently held by Matt Keel, who faces challenges from Gary Podesky and John Ryman. The city of La Crosse will once again take up the possibility of creating a city administrator position, citing the setups in other Wisconsin cities such as Kenosha, West Allis, and Sheboygan, which have a city administrator and mayor. The city administrator for La Crosse would split the current duties that are done by the mayor. The salary range for the position checks in at just under $200,000. A city council workgroup will discuss the position tomorrow before the full city council takes up the proposal at Thursday's regular city council meeting. There will be a statewide primary next month for the state superintendent position. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tome Olson.
Three people are running, including current superintendent Jill Underley. Vying to unseat her are Jeff Wright, superintendent of the Sauk Prairie School District, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant in Milwaukee. Both Wright and Kinzer gathered the 2,000 signatures necessary to be on the ballot for the primary in February and submitted their paperwork to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Wright has the endorsement of the largest teachers union in the state.
It's very unusual for the teachers union and for administrators associations to take on an incumbent, but I think it's a real statement about the change that they feel is needed to make sure our schools are heading in the right direction.
The state superintendent leads the Department of Public Instruction, which oversees Wisconsin's 2,200 public schools. The department has about 600 employees.
The primary will be held on February 18th. The spring election is on April 1st. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There was a lion's roar atop the box office this past weekend. Mufasa took first place on the big screen with a haul of just under $24 million. The Lion King prequel edged out Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the last weekend of 2024. Sonic, which was tops last weekend over Mufasa, brought in just over $21 million for a second place, but out-earned Mufasa over the traditional three-day weekend. Both films are entering their fourth week of release and showing decent legs. Coming in third place this past weekend was Focus Features' Nosferatu, a surprise hit that has pulled in about $70 million since its release on Christmas Day. The film is now at $100 million globally. Rounding out the top five were Moana 2 in fourth place with $12 million and about to pass $1 billion globally. And in fifth place was Wicked with just over $10 million. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, landed in sixth place for the second week in a row with just over $8 million big ones. Great assortment of flicks in the theaters right now to help you combat the cold. Check them out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Decreasing clouds tonight, another chilly night with lows around 6 above. On Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, highs only in the upper teens, and then a bit milder on Thursday with mostly sunny skies, high temperatures right around 25. Currently, it's 17 degrees.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbus Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, still concerned about the high price of groceries. We'll talk about Trump tariffs with Darren Von Ruden with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. That's all on the way. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Great hour number two song. It's kind of very chill. I like that tune. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, what will be the next Wisconsin team that wins a championship? We've had some great Bucks and Packers for the most part, but you did some digging.
Yeah.
The Badgers women's hockey team?
Yeah, their record is 21-1.
That's pretty good.
They lost once. That's crazy.
But have they won a championship recently?
I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
But well, looks good this year.
Yeah, it sure does. Bridget from the 818 says, Bucks basketball. Okay. Yeah, they're probably the most recently removed from having a championship ring. And then from the 715, Kate says, Badgers hockey. All right. Maybe she means women's hockey.
Yeah. I don't know. The boys aren't doing that great.
She probably means women's hockey. Clarify, Kate, if you would. But thank you for your text, everybody. All right, we have to get going here because I just realized my friend Mike Kauth is about to join us, and time is ticking, and I want to talk some Milwaukee comedy, and Mike is always fun to do that with. He is a head coach at Comedy Sports, and he joins us now on Nightlight. Mike, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Pete. Doing real good. How are you?
Good. I don't usually pay attention to this kind of thing, but that beard is looking phenomenal. Yeah, you had it last time, but that's like full blown. That's like perfect.
We're getting there. You know, part of it is the holiday season. There's at Comedy Sports we do a naughty and nice show, and I always play Santa Claus. So
fantastic! That makes sense.
A little short for Santa, but
just paint it white. No one will ever know the difference. Those kids don't know anything.
It's getting there on its own, my friend.
did you have good holidays?
Yeah. Got to see my sister's family. They live right over the border in Illinois.
Okay.
That was really fun. We had two sold-out shows at Comedy Sports for New Year's. So that's always a good place to ring in the new year. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yourself?
Yeah, it was great. Thank you. We had a lot of same stuff. We went to see a show here in Green Bay, Frank Hermans, who does a great job just down the street here at the Meyer. And great holidays. No complaints. But what a great, you know, when I was a stand-up, Mike, and I've talked about this recently leading up to the new year, when I would be on a New Year's show doing comedy, I hated it because, you know, I'm either on the road or somewhere where we do the countdown on stage and it's me and a comic sometimes I barely know. And the new year hits and like I give that guy a fist bump and everybody in the crowd is hugging and kissing. And it's like a festive night. But what's it like at Comedy Sports when you guys do that? How do you make it festive and how do you ring in the new year at Comedy Sports?
Yeah, well, we offer two different shows. The first starts at 8 o'clock and has like a fake countdown. So that way families can come out.
Oh, nice.
If they want to go home early, you can get home early. The 10:30 show ends right at midnight. And kind of like you're saying, everyone goes wild. They cheer.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about improv is you're up there with a few different people. And
yeah,
a lot of times those are your friends that you've played with and, you know,
right,
performed with. So I'd probably be with them anyway. So it's a nice way to ring in the new year. And we do like a buffet, free champagne. So we go all out.
Oh man.
New Year's.
That sounds like a lot of fun. With the great thing, too, is like what you just said with families, Comedy Sports, and I forget this from time to time, is totally clean, right? Like it's family friendly for the most part.
That's correct. Yeah. It's all ages. We even have like the bag foul, the out of bounds foul. So if someone says something that's a little too lewd, crude, or off color, they, you know, that goes for audience members, too. They have to put the bag on their head.
Would Comedy Sports have been as successful as it's been? You have a decades long now tradition. Would it have been as successful were it not for that rule? Like if you allowed swearing or like they do at Second City, if you could go blue, how would that have affected Comedy Sports, do you think?
That's a great question. I think we probably would still be around. It would still be successful. But it probably would have been limited the range of audiences we could have pulled in.
Right.
This past summer, we just celebrated our 40th year in business, which is
that's
insane.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. And it probably is a lot because of being able to bring in families and then, you know, generations kind of grow with us over the time too. So if you enjoyed comedy sports as a kid, sometimes, you know, once you hit your 20s, 30s, you kind of come back like, maybe I'll check this thing out again.
You're a staple now. That's pretty cool. How did you find comedy sports, Mike? You personally, what was your journey to get there? Now you're a head coach, which is really cool. But how did you get started there?
I got started there. I had seen a show when I was a freshman in high school, I believe, maybe eighth grade, doesn't really matter. But some family friends decided, let's go check out a show. They invited me along and I went. I liked it. And then a couple years later, I was, a senior in high school. And I liked performing. And I had just done a media studies class where I got to make videos with my friends and do kind of a rough version of what we thought was sketch comedy, making videos. And I just wanted to do that. And I remembered comedy sports. So I called them up and said, how do I work there? And they're like, you want to wait staff or you want to work in the kitchen? I was like, no, how do you get on stage?
Right.
And they're like, well, you take the workshops. And just coincidentally, one was starting the following week. And then I was turning 18, so I could take the workshop because they had high school leagues for a long while. But because I had turned 18, I was able to take the adult workshops and just fell in love with it immediately.
That's fantastic. My guest is Mike Kauth. He works for Comedy Sports in Milwaukee. He's a head coach there and an accomplished improviser as well. Mike, it's great to have you here. I want to ask you this because this is always, you know, even in the stand-up world, you have the guys on stage who play off the crowd, just like you do in an improv show. Some of the guys know the tricks and girls. Some of them know the tricks. They know the shortcuts. They've said these lines over and over. And then there are some that are truly quick-witted and brilliant comedians, improvisers, stand-ups, whatever. In your opinion, who are those brilliant people that are just so in the moment and so fast? And they could be people from history or TV or just people you've worked with at comedy sports even. Who are those people to you?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, immediately you think like Robin Williams.
Yeah.
One of those people who's just so fast. There's a British comedian, Lee Mack. So if you've seen the show, Would I Lie to You? That's like a British panel show. Lee Mack is just amazingly quick. That format of that show is like someone picks up a card, they read it. It's either the truth or a lie. And you have to trick the other team. So if it's a truth, you have to try and make them think you're lying. And if it's a lie, you have to make them think it's the truth. Very funny British show, but Lee Mack is super quick. I just had the honor of, I wouldn't say working with, but Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall was just, he was just at our place doing some storytelling. He was just at Comedy Sports this past Friday and Saturday. And amazingly nice guy. And it was so funny to watch the show. And I got to see him both nights. And what was so interesting is any little thing in the audience, like he would pick up on and work with, but it didn't derail him at all. And he was almost even improvising off of moments of his own stories. Just the way he said something, or he'd find something new in the moment. And it was really, really cool to see.
That's so great for someone like you, too, who has seen so much. And you can really tell when someone's in the moment and they're just there and they're on it. And it's their own brain being fast and quick-witted, as opposed to those people who just know what to say under the right circumstances.
Right. And our friend Eric Price is one of those guys who just... I love to see him go.
Yeah.
And Tom Clark, too, another friend of ours, stand up. He's great at crowd work.
Yeah. Tom posts himself doing crowd work, which, you know, if I see a comic post crowd work, sometimes I go, but there are people like Tom who I always click on it because when they're good at it, it's beautiful, you know, when it's very in the moment like that. And Eric, I think I may have told you this last time you were here. When I made this film called The Godfather of Green Bay, we had all these great comedians in town up in Marinette. Jimmy Pardo was there and Lance Barber and Tom Lennon, who helped create the state, and Eric from Comedy Sports. And we didn't really know Eric. And he starts doing shtick and improvising at this bar and doing bits. And I'm like, oh no, this is going to be brutal. Oh my gosh. He was brilliant. He did this stumbling bum character and people were losing it. He was so funny. And then he walked outside the bar and he was on the street talking to strangers. I mean, talk about committing. It was just a thing of beauty. And you're right. He's one of those alumni from Comedy Sports. So great.
Yeah. Now, Pete, out of curiosity, because like crowd work is a big thing now in like stand up, and some people, you know, like have obviously leaned into it. Some people not as much of a fan of it. Where do you land on crowd work?
I'm fine with it. I mean, listen, I haven't done stand up professionally in years. I made my living at it in the 90s. But when I switched to writing, I kind of put a pin in it, so to speak. But
sure.
I loved working the crowd, and I thought it was, you know, kind of a strength. There were people I'm sure that were better at it than me, but I enjoyed doing it when it was like an in the moment kind of thing, when something, but I wasn't going to stand up there and do hack lines to people just to entertain them, because I feel like I'm cheating the audience. Then they paid to see something original, you know?
Yeah. Cause you put all the hard work into writing. I think that's like the interesting thing now is so many people go up and just like, oh, yell out things, topics, you know?
Right.
And it's kind of like, but really put the effort into the craft. I mean, I don't do stand-up, so I shouldn't be throwing stones over here, but it's one of those things, like, it's so different. Like, you think like, well, then try improv, right?
Yeah.
Like, stand-up is, the fun of it is, here's something I wrote.
Correct.
Let me share it with you.
And and that's kind of how I felt. Like, I feel like those moments where you could be in the moment and you had something really good to come back with are beautiful.
Yeah.
But, you know, they have to happen organically. Stand-ups typically have prepared material, and you're right. That's what people are going to see. You know, I feel like the improv should be left to the experts. Do you like to do sketch comedy, Mike? Have you done much of that, or is it purely improv for the most part?
I really like doing sketch comedy, but I probably haven't done it in over a decade at this point.
Okay.
I used to have a group in the early 2000s. We did sketches for about 6 years. Patrick Schmitz, who's like a local playwright now in Milwaukee, does Comedy Sports as well. Comedian Johnny Beener, I believe you know.
Oh, Johnny's great. Yeah, love Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. We would write sketches and just put them on. We were doing new shows pretty much every Sunday night at this little theater, and it was great. But it's just sort of, Johnny went into stand-up. Patrick is a teacher. He also, he definitely does improv, but he got into the writing, which he's fantastic at. So we all just kind of branched off into other venues. And for me, unfortunately, like improv, I love it so much. And it's, you know, so little preparation. I just have to show up and hope it goes well.
I always felt like, you know, I was in an improv group in college, and I always felt like it was, you were being shot out of a cannon. You're just like, okay, let's see what happens here. I hope I'm funny and something happens, but that's kind of the beauty of the art form. So that's so great. And comedy's comedy. I mean, I didn't know Johnny had an improv background, but that doesn't surprise me either, because he's so funny and he's pretty quick too. So I think you can benefit. And I was always amazed at the people like, you know, Odenkirk, when I was just starting out, he was already established, but he was, you know, at Second City one night, then he's trying stand up. Jeff Garland, same thing. You'd see him around, and I'm like, God, who are these guys that are doing both? It would make my head explode. Mike Houth is here. He is one of the head coaches of Comedy Sports in Milwaukee. We'll have a few more minutes with Mike after a very short break. So glad to have you with me on this Tuesday night, Taco Tuesday, Conrad. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
This statement is not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day Active Liver Tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of Active Liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with Active Liver. You can find Active Liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for Active Liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, New Nordic.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Tomorrow night, we've got more funny on Nightlight. Bob and Tom regular Tim Cavanaugh will be here at 6:35. And then my pal and TV's own Mike Siegel will be here. We're going to be talking about high school dance music. How fun does that sound? From the 715, Joe, in, this is great. This is an answer to our question tonight, Mike, of what will be the next Wisconsin team to win a championship. Joe from the 715 says the Sparklers will be the next Wisconsin team to win a championship. And parenthetically, comedy sports reference, shows are terrific. Go see shows. That's Joe in the 715. Mike, what, speaking of shows, what do you guys have coming up? Where can people see comedy sports if they're not in Milwaukee? Do you have any traveling shows coming up? And if people are in Milwaukee, when can they see the next round of shows?
Yeah. We travel all over the place. A lot of the traveling we do tends to be private events that they'll come out and do things at different companies or different community centers and things like that, wherever anyone wants to come, wants us to come and do a show. Unfortunately, I don't know any that are upcoming that are open to the public. I'll say that. Okay. But, you know, if anyone out there wants us to, just head to CSZMK.com and book us. We're always happy to venture out. And in Milwaukee, on Friday and Saturday, we do our regular show, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. Those are the regular comedy sports matches. And then a little plug for myself, I'm doing a show called Big Fun Improv on Friday, January 10th at 8 p.m. And that's a long-form improv show with just some of my favorite improvisers together, and we just put on a crazy big fun improv show.
All right, that's fantastic. And that's this Friday.
That's this Friday, yeah.
All right, very cool. We'll check out Mike's show. What if there was some guy, all right, let's say I'm creepy, rich, weird guy.
Yeah.
And I say, Mike, I want you and a team of improvisers, comedy sports, to come and do a personal show for me. How weird would that be? And would you take the gig?
Yes.
No we background would. Check or anything. You're just in.
I'm just showing up.
All right. Conrad, start socking a few bucks away. We gotta make this happen.
Sounds good.
There has definitely been, I've done shows. I'm trying to think of the smallest show that I've done. I know we did like a birthday party for some kids, and there was, I think, like seven of them.
Oh, wow.
They were like 7 12-year-olds, and it was just like, all right.
How did it go?
Here we go. You know what? If you tell enough, like, kind of booger fart jokes, you get by. you get by.
So you sold out is what I'm hearing.
So, and you got me.
Why wouldn't you? Absolutely. Have you ever had a moment on stage, Mike? Give me a best Mike Kauth moment on stage in your illustrious career and a worst Mike Kauth moment during a show.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite moments, one of my best moments for me personally, like speaking of like the road shows, we had gone down to Dallas, Texas, three of us, myself, co-creator of Comedy Sports, Bob Orvis, and another hilarious player, Bob, Paul Stazak. We had gone down to Dallas to do shows for a college, basically. And there was probably like 800 to 900 students there. And what was cool about it, because it was so big, is they had cameras on us. And I never work in front of the camera. It's very rare that I do. It takes more time to, you know, I get caught up making sure I'm brushing the beard and keeping the beard. All the... So I'm too vain to be in front of cameras. So they have these cameras in front of us. And one of the suggestions had been soap opera. So the whole time I just remember being able to play to the camera, like just... anything, something dramatic happened, just looking right at the camera. And it just felt real electric because you'd look at the camera and the audience would just erupt with laughter.
Nice.
I always feel bad. I'll say this, like, whenever I'm explaining like a moment in like an improv scene or something, I always feel like it's explaining your dream to somebody.
Oh, funny.
You know, it's just kind of like, yeah, people kind of care, but at the same time, it's all made up, you know?
Yeah. And in the moment, the dream seems real. And, but then you catch yourself telling it, going, oh man, what is this, a train wreck of a story? Mike, we'll have to save, let's save the tanking or the horrible story. We've all got them for next time, but, so much fun. Good luck with your long form show this Friday, and keep us posted on Comedy Sports. Would love to get you up here. Got all the studio space, you know. Anytime you guys want to come up, we'd love to have you in the studio.
Do you think I can get you to improvise? Like the dust off?
Oh boy. Let's see. Let's just see how it goes. I'm going to put a taco bar in here. We'll have a seafood buffet, maybe some, whatever I have to do to get you up here. If I have to improv with you and make myself look ridiculous, I will do that to have live guests.
That's awesome. All Thank you, Pete.
Thank you, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Thanks. That's Mike Kauth. He is a head coach at Comedy Sports. Check out his show, Live Entertainment in Milwaukee. Comedy Sports is an institution in Milwaukee. Like Mike just said, they've been there for 40 years. So thank you to Mike, and break a leg, my friend. Also, would like to thank Tim Dennis. Tim was filling in for Bob. Where are you at in that stuff? We've talked about paranormal. That was probably our fifth or sixth segment since we've been doing the show for a year.
Yeah.
Are you any closer to being a believer?
I don't know.
You kind of have to be, because you're freaked out being here alone sometimes, right?
I wasn't actually. I was just kidding. It was probably some person walking by the windows or something, you know?
All right. Fair enough. All right. Thank you to the guests. Hey, thank you for all your texts. Let's see what happens in regard to a championship here in Wisconsin. It'll probably happen at some point.
Maybe go Sparklers.
Happen. Yeah. Go Badger Women's Hockey. 21-1, and go Sparklers. All right. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, we will be back tomorrow night to do Nightlight all over again. Until then, have a great night, everybody. Good night, Wisconsin. Building tower for side isn't anything at all. Why the sky and tell the sky and leave the sky and tell the sky. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project return to the show after a vacation break. We'll catch up with them. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SavedByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump went 1-for-2 Tuesday in his legal cases. Florida federal judge Eileen Cannon's temporarily blocking the public release of special counsel Jack Smith's final report on the classified documents case. Here in New York City,
a legal blow for Donald Trump. A New York appeals judge denying his request to delay his criminal sentencing set for Friday. Judge Ellen Gesmer rejecting Trump's claim that the case should be delayed because of presidential immunity.
ABC's Olivia Rubin. 30,000 residents of Los Angeles' Pacific Palisades neighborhood are under evacuation orders from a fast-moving, wind-driven wildfire. More than 13,000 homes and other structures threatened, and California Governor Gavin Newsom says some have been destroyed. Las Vegas investigators say New Year's Day truck bomber Matthew Leibelsberger used artificial intelligence, including ChatGPT, to help plot out the attack. This is ABC News.